Larry. As you know, the tenure committee meets on what... Are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine.
I'm sorry. I know you've hit a rough patch.
Someone just... But I'm fine.
Well, as you know, the tenure committee meets on Wednesday to make its final determination, so...
Harlan, I am not an evil man.
No, Larry, no, of course
not. I am not!
No, we don't make moral judgments.
I went to the Astor Art once. I saw Swedish Reverie.
No, it's okay. No, we don't need to
it
know.
It wasn't even erotic, although it was, in a way.
It's all right, really, Larry, believe me.
Yeah, okay.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central, Monday morning rig. 15 cars and 15 restless riders, 3 conductors and 25 sacks of May. Out on the southbound Odyssey, the train pulls out
of Kankakee. So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andy.
This is Dim.
Fuck you.
Hi guys! How are you doing?
I like to mess with my little brother.
Because I'm an asshole.
So before we go any further,
it's sad that I laugh every time he does it. I know it's coming.
So before we go any further... Today is Monday the 14th. We're recording Monday the 14th. Tomorrow Douglas will be 31.
No!
Sorry, what?
Tomorrow Douglas will be in his 30s. He doesn't get numbers. Next number he'll say will be 40. Then he can say scallywag and I'll respect him for the rest of his life.
And you'll be following shortly after.
Yeah, I'm going to change my birth papers. I'll be 40 now, please.
You are mentally.
Yeah, that is.
Like, you are technically you're technically the character that Clint Eastwood is.
I am the oldest, crustiest old man. And I just don't. My face doesn't match up yet. But one day.
Have you ever considered finding, like, a friend who knows, like, how to do, like, that kind of makeup? Just to one
I
day.
Want it to be,
walk around
I want it to be earned. I want people to see me and go, oh no, Damien, I'm coming. Sorry, Mr. White is coming. Just take with himself. I can't deal with it right now.
So happy getting older day, Douglas, when it comes around.
You'll soon be dead.
Anyways, this week, Damien has asked us to dive once again into the world of the Coen Brothers and folk music with Inside Llewyn Davis.
How you doing, Llewyn Davis?
Oh, hello. I've heard your music, and heard many nice things about you from Jim and Gene and from others.
You have not heard one nice thing about me from Gene.
Oh, it's fairly well, my darling true.
Alright, none of you have seen Searching for Sugar Man. By you, I mean people listening to this. None of them watch.
I'm pretty sure they have.
No one. Good movies, those days are over. This movie is the second movie in, well, I guess since Searching for Sugar Man, where after the movie was done, I made it a point to go and find the music, because I enjoy the music. This is a Coen Brothers movie, so bad things happen to bad people. Llewyn Davis, he's a real jerk. At a certain point, you see where... some of his behavior is justifiable, but then he pushes it so far that it no longer is. Even if you were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt, he takes all compassion away with his behavior. He's a real dick. And the Coen brothers know how to make movies around that. He's a singer-songwriter, and he has lost his partner that he used to do music with, and so of course he had to go solo, same difference. And the movie It is just a snapshot of, I guess, a week in his life. And him making shittier and shittier decisions. This is just...
Sorry to cut you, but I don't know why I found it so funny. So, either last night or the night before, both me and Andra watched this movie already, and we decided to watch it again. So, you know, that first scene, when he sings,
yes.
He gets off of the stage, and then he goes outside, and this guy, you know,
right.
Beats the crap out of him.
Gives him what for?
Before he tells you the joke, he laughed so hard he couldn't watch the rest of the movie. He had to go away.
So, seeing as this was the second time I watched it, I kind of knew a bit more, and something came to me. I realized that this man punched him into last week. That's the corniest joke ever, but...
You enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it so much.
Coen Brothers made a movie based on a joke. Yep. That sounds about right.
I realize he still hasn't stopped, right?
I know, and he won't.
I refuse to continue the show until he stops.
Oh, so we're not doing this?
No, we're not
doing this. Okay, well, this has been our new movie podcast. I'm Damien, signing off.
The worst part is... Last night, he saw Jim Gaffigan's Mr. Universe, and I don't think he thought he was as funny as he thinks he is right now.
What?
With that joke.
Best joke he's ever heard. Best one he's ever. Those are always the best jokes, though. The ones that you come up with yourself, and like one other person knows why it is remotely funny. Inside jokes. Terrific.
No, the question is, can we keep pointing at him enough that he won't stop laughing?
If we keep doing this. You laugh for the entire podcast. We've ruined podcasts like this already.
This doesn't need anything at all.
No. Shitty. Everybody.
Put it this way, the show has me at 17 and a half minutes. I'm sure we've done 5.
Done less than that. So this week I wanted us to watch Inside Louis Davis.
So yes, Douglas had a dumb joke.
Yeah. Like all Coen Brothers movies, with the exception of Lebowski, I love this movie. Like, this movie is a must watch. I've seen it.
I'll punch you into last week.
Yeah, whatever. It's the only one.
You pretend like you're surprised at this point.
Yeah.
I know.
I don't get it. I tried. In fact, after watching this movie, I went on a journey through Coen history. And... I still don't. I watched it again. And it's not like I watched it first and then went on to movies that I liked more. Like, I watched Fargo first, then I watched it, and then I watched A Single Man, and just, nope. Still don't. So, yep.
You know.
Forever.
So, we shouldn't even explain that. But
nope.
It's,
don't.
It's so, it must be difficult for people who didn't listen to us like 10 years ago to hear and be like,
keep saying
the single, how
no he... I'm questioning the guy who picks this episode as their first episode.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he's just shouting at his phone, it's not a single.
Exactly, right?
I like the look of this movie. I like the fact that even the people that like him in this movie still really hate him. The couple that gives him shelter, Terry Mulligan's character, like even the club owner, everyone kind of hates him. And they just keep, alright, fine. He's a bad, bad person. And then, right in the middle of the movie, John Goodman appears and absolutely crushes this. He's so good.
Yeah,
he God
is.
Damn it.
Folk
he's
singer
so
with
good.
A cat. What's that?
GD.
He's
I think he almost out assholes the asshole.
Oh. Oh god. And then Louis leaves him.
Which is another piece of absolute magic. And then he plays one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard play in a movie. And he's met with the review of, don't see any money here. And I go, and when he said it, I'm like, yeah, that's why I can't find good music. It's because if you sing really good music, 9 times out of 10,
just like with movies.
Right, no one wants to hear or see that shit. Right? Which means you have to crawl up both movie and music, asshole.
Singing Mr.
Kennedy. In order to find out if there's good music up there. And while there is good music up there, and there's good movies there too, there's a lot of nonsense. Looking at you specifically, Douglas. French nonsense. Wilco nonsense.
Yep. Hey, let's not bring Wilco yep. into this.
This movie is amazing. Most people won't think that. And that's absolutely fine. There are things that I could point and say, this is a problem with the movie, but I will never do that because this movie is absolutely perfect.
Well, I mean, like, I saw this movie like a month ago, around the time the Oscars was happening, and I wasn't too into it, and I blame it partially on the fact that I felt like I wasn't in the right mood to watch it and whatnot. And when I revisited it earlier this week, I kind of love this movie, and oddly enough, it's not because of the shenanigans kind of stuff exactly, but I got this vibe from Llewyn Davis, and I kind of explained this to Douglas earlier about this, in that if you remember Midnight in Paris, there's this moment when Wilson is talking to Ernest Hemingway, mm-hmm. and he's asking him to read his book, you know, I'd love if you'd give me notes, you know, you'd tell me what you think. And Ernest Hemingway tells him no. He says why? He says because I'll hate it. And he's like, look, there are one of two options here. Your book is shit, and I hate shitty writing. Or your book is the best thing I've ever seen, and I'll hate you for it because you did something amazing and it wasn't me. And that's how I feel. That's the vibe I got from this movie. That's how I felt Llewyn Davis was. He's this guy who, regardless of how bad a person he is, I looked at him as an artist, as someone who was in this time, and forgive me because I didn't Wikipedia or anything. As far as I know, Llewyn Davis isn't exactly any real person, or he's just kind of a figure who they threw into a time. So if he happens to be a real person, I don't know. Or based on anyone. But he seemed to me be this person who lived within this world of frustration, who was struggling to become someone for one reason or another, and looked around him and saw only those two options, which was people who he hated because he thought they were shit. And then at the end of the movie, when you see Bob Dylan, and he goes, fuck, I should just stop, right? And, like, and I still haven't decided whether I'm taking this movie to be a movie about persistence or a movie about frustration. Because you can see the argument for the Coen brothers saying that this guy, as talented as we see him to be, because we actually get to hear him, we are basically playing the label owners who never release his record but really like him, who say, I don't see any money in this. We see that there is talent there, and we want it to exist in the marketable world of music, but we know that's not happening, right? And he doesn't yet know that. He's just the guy struggling and keep on trying to make something happen. And I haven't decided whether it's about telling people to persist to try and make the world listen to you, or just telling you that you will be in a world of frustration for doing this.
I think the movie is telling you, don't be a jerk.
And I really like it for that. Also, music's fantastic.
Yeah, that helps.
Even the Mr. Kennedy song, which is kind of kitschy and shitty and whatever, like it's kitschy enough that I kind of like it as a joke.
No, exactly. That's what's great about that song. That song is bad, But it's so bad that it's funny, and clearly that's what the Coens meant to do, because they're so good at something like that. They're so good at, you know, just making
Adam
jokes.
Driver testing out his vocals.
You're like, what are you doing?
Something's bad about that.
Yep.
Mr. Kennedy. Uh-oh.
Yeah. But like Andrew says, I feel the lyrics for this? Somebody, but I feel that Andrew has kind of like a step up on me, because Andrew at least has said, you know what, I don't know what this movie is about, but it's either about this or that. I haven't gotten to that stage yet. I have a feeling that I'm missing something altogether, and I don't know exactly what this movie. I feel that there's a bigger message that this movie is trying to send that I'm just not feeling. But with that said, it has a lot of good stuff going for it. As everybody said, the music is awesome. This is a Coen Brothers movie, so it's beautiful.
So everything else is awesome.
Exactly, and everything else is great. I kind of like Oscar Isaac. I've seen him. I didn't realize that he was as good as he was, because I've seen him
this
in a couple
of
things.
Version.
Exactly, right? I've seen him in a couple of things. I've also seen him sing in another movie. He's in like this high school reunion movie where he sings, and I was like, is that really him singing? And this movie kind of proved that it was. And he's really, really good in this movie. And the thing about this movie is that you talk about, is it frustration? Is it just perseverance? Is it that you must just, you know, just give up? I almost look at this movie and say that this movie is it's all about self, or not all about, but throughout the movie, there's a common trend of self-defeatism. You know, you talk about him getting frustrated and he always gets up against a wall and he's always smashing against the wall. But really, in a sense, he's the one that puts that wall there all the time for him. First off, of course, by just being a general asshole.
By being himself.
But also, you know, you look at opportunities are given to this man throughout this movie to be the most famous folk singer in the world, right? Let's go with probably one of the smallest ones. He you know, gets to play at the Gaslight when the New York Times are going to be there, and you've said it, when Bob Dylan is there, so that's a big one. What does he do? He goes out the back and gets beat up because he was an asshole the night before to some nice old lady.
We don't know if she's nice.
Well, that's true. But more than likely, we can assume, you know, nobody's really going to talk to somebody with you. Exactly. All right. Another one is he gets to be a part of what is probably going to be the next hot seller from Justin Timberlake. Dear Mr. Kennedy.
Club banger.
He signs away his royalties, which, all right, fine, that might not be the deal breaker, but it definitely gets him zero money, or zero of the money he could have gotten. But, you know, again, that just general asshole-ish nature of himself. And, you know, I think probably the biggest thing for me when I watched this movie was when he went to almost call him Saul, but he's not Saul, he's Saul's friend. When he went to Bud Grossman, I think is his name in this movie, and he plays for him, as you say, the most beautiful song in the world, but
it's
there's no
good
money in
it's
that song
good.
But Bud Grossman says to him, listen, clearly he sees the potential, right? Mm-hmm. This guy can sing, this guy can play, he just needs to kind of brush up on his mm-hmm. on his not just interpersonal skills, because that you don't really see that mm-hmm. on stage. But, you know, as he said about his friend Troy, he doesn't connect with people mm-hmm. right? You get up on the stage and he's like, fuck you, you're gonna like my song. And if you don't, you just don't like music. Because you're an asshole. Like, that's how this guy works. But Grossman is like, listen, here's what we can do. Because I see something. I can put you in this band that I'm getting together.
Right, we're calling them the Backstreet Boys.
Exactly, we're calling the Backstreet Boys. Just, you know, you won't be lead, but, you know, you'll be on harmony. We'll give you a new look. Nothing horrendous, just shave off some of the beard, have a goatee, and, you know, we'll see how it goes from there. And the guy's like, no, fuck you, right? The biggest middle finger in the air, and he gets his ass right back home to New York, right? So throughout this movie, he gets these opportunities to become what he wants, but he puts up these walls, which, you know, and we can
sell out,
and exactly, we can all argue, you know, why would he do this? Why would he be a sellout? Because that means, you know, you compromise his art. He wouldn't be doing what he wants to do anyway, and whatever. But, you know, there's also the other argument that, listen, if you want to, you know, either if you want to make money, then you have to do it. Or if you want to do your art, then, you know, do some shit and then do a little bit of nice or whatever. But anyway, Douglas. Anyway, we've got, so
we know our lives on Trier, all right? When did Lars von Trier ever compromise?
But you know, this guy just keeps putting up these walls that hamper him from getting exactly where he wants to go. And you see, you know, I really, as with Andrew, I wouldn't say I didn't like or wasn't a big fan of this movie. But at first, I was just kind of like, oh, it's another one of the Coen Brothers movies. It has, you know, enough, but not. It has enough, but it would be one on the lower end of the scale, right? But right now, I don't think it's jumped up to the top yet. But this feels to me like a Big Lebowski. This is one of those movies where I watched it.
I like this one.
And there was much more that I loved about it the second time around, and I feel that there's gonna be so much more the next time, and so much more the next time. Like, and you know, you guys didn't say it, but I'm sure it's obvious to everybody. Like, something that I didn't see at first, but then all of a sudden I'm like, hold on, they did something here. Was, you know, the fact that they set this in the middle of like this blustering winter, like, and the color scheme. It was all, you know,
muted,
yeah, and it all kind of just centered on the fact that, listen, not only is this guy a dick, but we're gonna like have this sort of cold feel around him. What? Like, there is no warmth to this movie, there is no warmth to this man.
Condom on condom,
right? Condom on condom.
Is it weird?
And wrap it with electric.
Is it weird that the first time I watched this movie and I saw that scene, I said she doesn't make any sense, because I corrected it the second time I watched it. Where when I heard her say it, I heard her say that you'll be, that women around the world will be doing a favor to you.
Oh.
<I'm>
like, yeah.
I don't think that kind of works in the tone of what you were going with to begin with, but it was the other way around. I'm dumb.
Yeah. But there's one bright spark, for me at least, in this movie, and I think it might be that conversation, except not that part of the conversation, but he almost looks like, to me, that he kind of comes out of that dickish sort of character and begins to show
humanity.
You know, some sort of, exactly, humanity, and some sort of regret for the pain that he's caused, some sort of like sadness for the fact that, some realization that, you know, not only is he sad and upset with the world, because that's just an everyday thing for him, but that, you know, there's a reason for that, and the reason is that, you know, he's caused it. He's done all of these bad things, and, you know, maybe, is there another way? And I like, one, that I see that, and then two, that that's such a small part of the conversation. It's like maybe a couple of minutes max, and then it's almost as if he just shakes his head and says, "Oof, wait, hold on, fuck that shit," and he goes right back into
his
shit.
No, this is my fault.
Right?
This is all your fault.
Yeah, and. I don't, I'm not sure if I understand that or everything in this movie, but there's just something great about it. There's just something that I came out of the movie, definitely the second time, much more than the first time, just feeling just happy or satisfied with this movie and how good it is. And I really like the way that, well, it sounds like we're kind of giving away most of this movie anyway, but and Andrew can bleep me out if anything. I don't think I'm doing anything too bad. But I love that. I love the way that the movie begins and the way the movie ends. And so much so, I had to, when I watched it the last time, I had to pull back to the beginning and see what the differences were, because I didn't quite catch it. I thought in my head that, you know, so in the beginning, he starts off, he's singing his song about hang me with the rope and stuff. And then you go straight from that song into him talking to the club owner and then getting his getting himself beat up. And then in the end, we come back to that scene again. And you see the same hang me, oh hang me, mm-hmm. or whatever that song is. And then he goes into his old song with his partner that is just superb. And I think for me, that kind of shows some sort of progression, right? Because the hang me song is so dreary and down and kind of just, you know, you're talking about killing yourself, essentially. That, you know, you see where this guy is at that moment. And then to go from there and the journey through the movie to at least see a little bit of humanity every once in a while, for him to at least on some level he appears to realize that, you know, this life just can't, I can't live this way and be any sort of a functional human being. And then to go from there to his song, which isn't exactly upbeat, but the way he sings it with so much life and so much bomb. He sang it so big and so just great. And again, that song is awesome. That, you know, it was almost like the movie just lifted up a little bit at the end. It was almost like there was some sort of positiveness there. You know, positivity is probably the correct word, but whatever. That, you know, it just... I think I really like this
book. Said Coin Brothers. Struggling with yourself to like.
Guess
a movie
what, Damien?
Like.
Means Douglas actually picked a good movie last year for his fantasy league.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kind of sad. Although it did say Coin Brothers, so it's not. Who would thought this was going to be by?
And it did probably make only like $10.
$13.
Yeah.
The thing I love most about the Llewyn Davis character, and this will be the last thing before, unless you guys have anything else, is the Coen brothers are good at finding characters that blame the world for their problems. So it is nothing is his fault.
Yeah.
And then you get a glimpse, like Douglas said, where you see where he realizes that some of this might be my fault. In fact, all of this is probably my fault. And then he goes, no. Nope. This is not my fault. None of this anything to do with me. I did what I should have done and the world hates me.
Yeah, they always do films about selfish characters.
Right. And that's why I love them. Mm. Because they do it right. It feels like I've met people like that before. Who nothing. It's not none of this. All the bad shit that keeps happening to me, it's all other people's fault. I like that. I like watching it. Yeah. I like watching it and going, yeah. You deserve a shitty life. Because you're a bad person. Right, that blames the world for everything. Outside of the music, outside of the everything. I love the show from the first time. I love the trailer. Coen Brothers know what they're doing. And they make movies that feel tailored for me.
So moving into questions. No. I'm dancing to the question song?
No, I'm dancing to the stupid song that I've played in my head.
Is it hang me? Hang me? No.
Nope.
It's even worse. Last week, or at least 2 weeks ago, technically, when we actually
you
recorded,
know that internet time works different.
With Noah being the film coming out, I was asking people about what they felt like. What were the films about that discussed the Bible and religion that you feel were best suited if you were just to say, hey, look at this discussion. And the internet responded. Neil Morgan at Immortal Critic responded with the seventh seal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's just give that to people. You like the Bible, right? Here is the seventh seal.
Nope.
Christopher Runyon from over at the Movie Mezzanine wrote in with The Last Temptation of Christ,
okay.
The Tree of Life, and Secret Sunshine, which I've never even heard of.
Sorry,
Secret
Sunshine.
Tree
of what? No?
Tree of Life.
Have you seen that movie?
No, I
not
have
ever.
Not. Ever. Amir Sultani, I almost added in things to his name, responded with Viridiana, which I don't even know what that movie is.
Just making up movies.
Wow.
I love how Andrew's such a great host, right?
Yeah.
He gets responses.
Yeah, he could
look up
these
movies.
And
he got these responses before the podcast.
No, he didn't.
And at
they're
no
coming
time
in live.
Did it
again, internet time
he
is different.
Searched so that
these
he could
are
sound
live
educated
responses
on the topics.
He asked the question a minute ago. These are live responses.
Dr. Rumak brought up Chariots of Fire, which is a film I know about, but I've never seen. Never seen it.
Have,
I know what it is.
You have 19 hours?
Yeah?
Nah, I didn't. I'm a movie freak.
Mike Roth mentioned The Sunset Limited, which is that movie with Sam Jackson and Tommy Lee Jones that was on HBO. It was an HBO film.
Damon's
already laughing at it.
Yeah.
Matthew Price from over at Mammal wrote in with Gravity.
Awesome.
And A Brief History of Time, which is actually a film that I saw like the day before he sent in his response. If you guys haven't heard of it, it's a Errol Morris documentary where he interviews Stephen Hawking and talks about his life and all of his work in dealing with black holes and such. Really interesting film. And yeah, kind of like if you're ready to think of the God particle, especially if we talk about
XB,
right, all of those, like, because that movie was done in the 90s. So you just kind of add on all the stuff we know now. You're like, you can just imagine Stephen Hawking just going crazy with all the new shit. But the award for the best response of the week goes to one Mr. Shane McNeil.
Oh yes.
who says just quietly going that his money's on Dogma, because he remembers what the world did when that movie came out.
Thought that movie was worshipping Satan. MTV News. Dogma is the worst thing that has ever happened.
I still love going on YouTube and seeing the news clip
where Kevin Smith
is in the picket line. And the guy's like, aren't you? He's like, no, no, I'm not that guy.
Never seen him.
Like, I'm sad that we can't, those things can't exist anymore because the internet has ruined
yeah.
Everything. The internet has ruined
people playing jokes like that.
No, what about the twerking girl that caught on fire? Huh? That lasted a hot 2 weeks on the internet.
I don't even know what that
what's,
is, to be honest.
What's his face? One of those late night TV show guys had some girl twerking upside down and then she fell onto flames. And it took 2 weeks for the internet to figure out that not a real thing.
Mm.
So it still happens. No. It just happens in the worst way possible. Mm. YouTube.
With this week going forward, and with a few weeks before the summer, which is what everyone's looking forward to, with movies.
Unless you live in Jamaica, in which case the summer started. Oh, it never ended. Nope.
I want to ask you guys to answer two questions separately.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think will be the top grossing film of the summer,
mm-hmm.
domestic only,
mm-hmm.
and B, your favorite film of the summer,
mm-hmm.
once it's all done. What am I supposed to say? May to August, that's the summer in case anyone was about to play a dumb trick and say I think Captain America.
When is Chris Nolan's movie coming up? It's not summer, right? You know what my movie is. It's How to Train Your Dragon Part 2. for both answers. It will make the most, and it will be the best.
I've conceded that movie's going to make the most money.
It's not. It's going to crush all your hopes and dreams. Unless it is destroyed by Transformers and robot dinosaurs. Because, hey guys, robot dinosaurs. The movie that I would prefer to be the best movie of the summer is Gojira.
Yeah.
But it's not likely to happen.
Is it weird that the movie I'm looking forward most to and kind of hoping at this point will be my favorite movie of the summer? Not the best, but my favorite, 22 Jump Street.
That trailer is pretty good. Those trailers are pretty good.
Yeah, they are. But so, my favorite for the summer, as Damien said, Nolan has a movie coming out, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's summer.
No, not really.
No,
it's
summer.
That's like November.
That's because you didn't say anything.
That's why I pretend hitting.
Okay.
When you ask that question.
Okay.
That movie is not in the summer.
Okay, fair enough.
November.
For summer then.
Which is summer for Jamaica.
You see, what's sad is I don't really know all the move or many of the movies coming out this summer, but I would probably guess at least for the best, honestly, maybe a Spider-Man might do it.
What about 2400 Ways to Die in Die?
What I meant is the most money.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 25 million ways to die in I don't know.
I hope it's funny.
I hope it's funny. But listen, let's please remember, right? We all here in this room hated the trailer for Ted.
And the person that is making the movie, I do not like.
Exactly. And actually, I don't care, because I used to like Family Guy, so whatever.
Yeah, but that was 100 years ago.
I don't know. But Ted was the funniest thing. So I'm hoping I'm just hoping that this movie is like that. It also somehow made shitloads of money. And I'm also hoping that will happen again, you know, and that's why I put it on my list.
Especially now that weed is legal in the States. Smoke some weed. But watch that movie.
Perfect time to bring out another Harlan Kumar
movie. Goodness. But yes, I will definitely, what would I definitely like? I have a feeling that the more and more I see this trailer, is the more I think I'm going to really like Godzilla.
I remember Douglas, like, when the first one came out, he's like,
but trailers just keep coming, and they
just go,
Lizard
Kung Fu, I'm on board.
Is that movie in 3D?
Who cares?
Probably.
All movies are in 3D
now.
So that they can get extra money from you.
Ugh, I hate that.
Would you like to wear 2 pairs of glasses? I'd rather be shot. To start the shenanigans. Douglas Robinson, you are down 5 points to 1 out of a possible 15 points.
Oh, wow.
Andrew has 5.
Is this cumulative?
You
here?
Are
That's
horrendous.
Not cool.
And yes, I'm going to keep adding.
How is this not wait, but I beat him in the first one.
No, the first 2 don't count. Those are test runs.
Yes, those
Fuck
are garbage.
You guys!
He said that last
time. I perfected the formula. It is perfect. Now, Douglas, since you are. Since you are atrocious at this, I'll give you 2 options. We can stick in the 1990s, which you'd be more familiar with since you're 1,000 years old. or we can step into the future, into the 2000s. Still 10 questions, either way you take it.
What are these questions about?
You will have to determine the order that these movies made money. First, second, third. And you'll have to tell me what year the movies came out. You can get help by way of the top grossing album.
Oh, we still doing albums?
Let's go into
the 2000s, we are going albums.
Go
if we go back to 1990s, we're going to use the top selling video games.
2000s, please.
The 2000s,
yes.
Please.
Please.
I think this is going to be an evener match.
Going to be terrible. Alright. Question 1.
Wait, are we like buzzing in?
No, or? I'm going. Yeah, I'm starting with you.
Okay.
Doesn't matter where we start. 10 questions.
I think we should put a time on
nope,
this game.
No timers. It's funnier when Douglas is lost in space.
That's okay. 2000.
Yeah, you're an idiot. Okay. Question one. 300. The Simpsons movies. Ratatouille. You need to tell
need
me
to
the,
tell
year
the year
that it came out in.
I can tell you the year.
If you'd like some help, help can be given to you by way of top grossing album of the year.
Did I go there in 2008? Yes, ooh, I did. Give me the help.
Kanye West, Graduation.
Graduation?
The top grossing album. Rap album, I should say.
I want that album.
The Raps.
Graduation?
Graduation. Grad?
Oh, wait, no. College Dropout was the first one. I was like, but that's way back when. Okay, yeah.
You are right, I forgot the names.
Alright. I am going to go with...
I went to
Florida.
Florida?
Florida, okay. What is it, Simpsons movie and what?
300 and Ratatouille.
Ratatouille. I was not at work yet, but that wouldn't help me because I went to my new work in 2011.
I think you were right with the timer. Take it.
Okay, I'm going to go with 2007.
You are correct. No, wrap them in order. Yep. Oh, yeah, I have this jumping on the bed. Oh, yeah. I know the year wrong. Rant them in auto. What made the most?
Remind me again, Ratatouille, Simpsons, and?
And Sparta.
Sparta. 300. Ratatouille,
mm-hmm.
Simpsons,
Spider Pigs,
and 300. Okay. So I would go with... I'll go with Ratatouille as number one.
Okay.
300 as number two and Spider Pig as number three.
Incorrect!
Thought so.
Andrew Robinson.
Ratatouille, Spider Pig, 300.
Also incorrect.
Yo, fuck me. Ratatouille is not number one.
Sparta, one.
Yep.
Ratatouille is part deux and The Simpsons came in third.
Yep.
Wow, I remember The Simpsons making bank right here.
It did make a lot of money, just not more.
How much did 300 make?
300 made... $210 million.
I swear it was one of those smaller ones.
Ratatouille made 206 and The Simpsons made 183.
Wow.
Wrong as shit. Andrew Robinson, it is your turn.
Fuck you, I'm not answering your questions.
Seabiscuit, Charlie's Angels, The Full Throttle, and Kill Bill Volume 1.
So I know the year, but let me just hear your thing because I want to know what album.
Okay. Outkast, The Speaker Box, and The Love Below. I'm sorry?
2004.
You are incorrect, sir.
Yeah, you're very incorrect. Very incorrect.
The answer is 2003.
Yep.
You've already lost a point.
Yep.
Might as well just continue.
But you were supposed to
read them in
me
order
so that I could get a point.
Nope. No one cares about you.
So what are my things?
Your things are the Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit.
Charlie's Angels Part 2,
Oscars,
More
Bill.
Throttle, and Kill Bill, the first volume.
In that order.
Seabiscuit, Charlie's Angels,
yeah.
And Kill Bill, Andrew's correct.
Yeah. Kill Bill didn't make that much money. Mm. Charlie's Angels is a mediocre thing, and Seabiscuit was Oscar nominated.
Wow.
Yeah, that, yeah, so it made money, of course.
No, there is a place in box office calculations for Oscars.
Alright, I'll get you the next time. Andrew has a point, Douglas still has no point.
Douglas has one. Andrew has one because he didn't
get
his...
You don't get one for the
I
year.
I get one for the year.
No,
we said that last
no,
time.
No, you didn't.
Last
no
time we
I
got
have
four
recorded.
Points.
You realize
and then
that.
One, you assholes.
You don't get
if
points.
You, get
you
both,
can lose points
you
for
get
the year.
Two.
You can lose a point if you get the year wrong.
But he just did.
Yes, and that is why he got 1 point.
Fuck. I'm leading 1-0.
You're down 6-1.
Goodness gracious. Okay.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Cloverfield.
Yep.
And Jumper.
I know when this is. Give me the
Lil Wayne's The Carter Part 3 was the top grossing rap album.
5 was when I got back, so this is 2006.
You are incorrect, sir.
So 8.
Good job.
I know that 8? Because Cloverfield was on my friend's top 10 wait list.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now put them in order. Stop playing with your phone.
Remind me again, Cloverfield.
Cloverfield, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and Jumper.
Wow, those are all just second tier movies, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Cloverfield, Sarah Marshall, Jumper.
Mm-hmm.
I will go with Cloverfield number 1. Jump.
I love that when I was I just have it on cassette. Crisscross was the greatest thing in the world.
Sadly, you didn't have Kane Rose.
Cloverfield, Sarah Marshall, and Jumper.
You are incorrect, sir. Andrew Robinson.
Sarah Marshall, Cloverfield, Jumper.
Also incorrect. Jumper made 80 million. Cloverfield made 80 million, but not more than Jumper. And Forgetting Sarah Marshall made 63 million. 0 points. You guys are terrible. Question number 4. Mr. and Mrs. Smith. The Wedding Crashers. And the first Batman. The Batmans. When it starts. The Begins Batman.
2005.
50 Cent's Massacre was the top grossing album. Andrew is correct. Now put them in order.
So Batman.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Batman, Wedding Crashers, Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
In that order. No.
He already said in that order, no.
And you did already start saying no. I heard you.
Really should punish him.
Batman didn't make that much money. I remember this now.
Really should punish him for that.
Batman, Wedding Crashers, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Wedding Crashers... Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Batman.
Incorrect.
Shit.
Douglas Robinson.
I would think that Mr. and Mrs. Smith would be number one, followed by Wedding Crashers and Batman.
Nope.
No.
Wedding Crashers is indeed number one.
Oh.
Batman is number 2.
Oh, wow.
I hadn't decided which action one made more, because I remember the thing being that Batman made a good amount of money, but not like crazy.
It wasn't
until number 2 that
it made $205 million. Did make a lot of money.
Well, a movie that costs like what, though?
$250 million, which is what the problem was.
Right.
But that's not a problem. It made $205 million in the United States.
Yeah. No, but they expected it to do more.
As far as America is concerned, for the most part, their numbers are what count.
And then they became very focused, and Nolan said, don't fuck this up. Give me the second one. And history is history. Question number 5. We're back to Douglas. Still with 0 points.
I have one.
Stop that. Miss Congeniality, Chicken Run, Big Mama's House, All Stables.
Give me a hint, son.
Eminem's The Marshall Mathers LP.
Oh, that's perfect.
Was the
that's
number
in
one
sixth form. No.
Mm-hmm.
Is that O or O1? I remember I bought it. I was in.
I remember going to the chicken run.
Upper 6. I don't understand the terminology. What is that?
She's reminding us how old
you are. What is that upper 6? I've never heard of that term.
When did I do the thing? I did the thing.
It was in 2009.
In summer. So it's 2000.
Congratulations. Now put them in order. Still have 0 points. Just reminding you. You don't get points for the...
Remind me of the 3?
It is Miss Congeniality, The Chicken Run, or Big Mama's House. 3 movies
Big
you've
Mama's
seen many
House.
Times, and 3 movies that
movie
are
that
Big Mama's
equally
House,
as terrible.
Miss Congeniality, and Chicken Run.
Douglas is correct.
Fuck.
Yes. It means he gets 2 points. It's a Christmas miracle.
you see, that's all you get for being a Martin Lawrence fan, you know?
Yep.
He went to that movie so many times.
Oh my goodness.
So sad. Andrew, stop skinning your teeth. This is your turn. The Lovely Bones. Toy Story 1 and Toy Story 2 re-released in 3D and dragged me to hell.
Artie, Zoe, it's an S09.
Alright, Eminem's relapse also. Can't believe Eminem's still making movies.
Are we using re-releases in here?
I can use whatever I feel like in here.
You said Drag Me to Hell, Toy Story re-releases, and
The Lovely Bones.
Lovely Bones. So The Lovely Bones is last. And then Toy Story, then
Drag Me to Hell.
Drag Me to Hell.
You are incorrect, sir.
So okay, just to make sure that you understood what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He or I understood what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said Toy Story followed by Drag Me to Hell followed by
No, I said Drag Me to Hell number one. Toy Story is number two, and then
The Lovely Bones.
Lovely Bones.
And that was wrong.
I don't understand.
So okay, Drag Me. You said Drag Me to Hell, Toy Story.
I shouldn't have told him, shouldn't I?
Yes,
no,
because
I didn't understand exactly what you said. Because you said then Toy Story.
I did it the other way around.
Yeah, okay.
I did it the other way around.
Okay.
If we do this today, that would be lovely.
All right, I am going to go with
Steal a Point.
Wow.
Buzz, steal a point.
I am going to go with.
Mm-hmm.
I just switched the top two, so I'll go with Toy Story, Drag Me to Hell, and Lovely Bones.
I got both, you guys.
Yep.
Nope. Lovely Bones made some amount of money. Made 44 million. Drag Me to Hell made 42 million. And Toy Story re-releases made 30 million.
Wow.
Yep, I knew it would get you with that one.
Lovely
oh,
Bones.
I knew it. I was putting the Lovely Bones there. I'm like, I need two movies that made less money than Lovely Bones. And I got you. I got you.
That's a song in the Reservoir Dogs soundtrack.
I gotcha.
Uh-huh.
Whose turn is it now? It is Andrew's turn.
No, it's Douglas'
turn.
No, it's Douglas.
The Spider-Mans. Harry Potter and his Chamber of Secrets. They're talking about Master League. And Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers.
I've already put it in my phone, that is 2001. Continue.
I'm sorry?
2001.
You are incorrect, sir. Spider-Man came out in 2002, just like Harry Potter, and The Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, was the second Lord of the Rings movie that came out in 2002.
I didn't listen to you properly.
Yep.
God damn
Too busy
it.
Laughing.
God damn
Eminem's
it.
The Eminem Show was the best top grossing album. Your
Eminem,
chance.
Will the real Eminem please stand
you
up?
You really like Eminem.
Oh, it's my fault that he sold all these albums.
I was the one who bought all of them. So, I mean,
it's not my fault.
There is that.
It's not
anyway,
my fault.
What are the three movies?
It is Fucker. The Spider-Mans.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Man Part
Harry
One.
Harry Potter. Spider-Man Part Uno.
Okay.
Harry Potter Part Uno.
That's why you see, because Harry Potter
I said the Chamber of Secrets
the first time.
I did say it. And Lord of the Rings The Two, emphasis on the two towers.
Alright, so Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter
and Spider-Man's.
Fuck. Fuck you, Damon. You are a little piece of shit.
Oh, it's so good.
Lord of the Rings,
uh-huh.
Harry Potter, and Spider-Man.
And the Spider-Man.
And this is Spider-Man 2.
Spider-Man 1.
And this is... Oh, Spider-Man 1.
Spider-Man 1,
okay.
Harry Potter
okay.
2, Lord of the Rings 2.
Okay, alright. Alright. However,
Lotter.
Spider-Man 1 did break records. I do remember that. Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter. Okay, I'm gonna... And both of them are 2.
Yep.
I'm gonna go out on a limb here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna sleep.
I'm gonna say.
I don't want you to look at this.
Okay. I'm gonna say. Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Spider-Man.
Incorrecto!
Yeah, there we go.
Andrew Robinson, a chance to steal Douglas.
Spider-Man, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter.
Correct.
Yeah. Spider-Man
Harry
did
Potter
break
didn't
yeah.
start building money till around 3-4.
Yeah.
It made $261 million. Just in case. The reason why it didn't beat Spider-Man is because Spider-Man made $400 million.
And
Lord of the Rings
Spider-Man
made $340 million. So Harry Potter was doing well for himself. So Andrew stole a point.
2-2. How many have we answered at this point?
You guys have answered 2
Seven.
Questions correctly.
No. I mean, as in how many
Seven.
Questions have gone?
Seven.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, Andrew Robinson. It is your turn.
get this one, I'll win.
And Douglas was Savage.
In talking? My mind, I've defeated him.
Oh, well, that is true. He is easy to defeat. Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Go fuck yourself.
And Shrek. It's not my fault. These questions are in a random one. I'm sorry, I don't understand what that means.
Are you telling one?
Fair enough. I'm going to start deducting points for being jerks.
Says who?
Says the
jerk?
The Damien. Put them in order. That's
so
what
that
you
was,
need to
that
do.
That was Harry Potter 1,
Lord of the Rings 1, and Shrek Part 1.
Shrek was a big one. Shrek was a big one. Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter 1. Lord of the Rings, Shrek, Harry Potter.
Incorrect, sir.
Fuck.
Felt good when you picked 2001, didn't you?
Oh, yeah!
So good. Jumping up and down.
Did Eddie Murphy dressed up as a donkey beat?
There are 19 Shrek movies.
Oh my goodness.
19 of them.
I am going to try
mm-hmm.
and say
mm-hmm.
that number one
mm-hmm.
is Shrek.
Okay.
Number two,
mm-hmm.
I've got Gandalf versus Harry,
mm-hmm.
right?
Both number
two,
ones.
Two people that spend a lot of time alone in towers.
I'm gonna say number two is Harry Potter and number three is Gandalf.
You are both incorrect.
Ah,
Harry Potter made 317, The Lord of the Rings made 313, and Shrek made 267.
Wow.
Okay.
I thought it was more draw for Lord of the Rings at the first one, because everyone was like, I actually read those books.
Okay.
It's all the big
2004. Fuck you.
No, there are two questions,
left. You
so you don't
answer.
You don't even know and which one you're
just for that you're going to
I'm
get
sorry.
Your question wrong. Stupid bastard.
Remember when I just asked how many questions were asked and you said seven?
Congratulations.
I'm an idiot.
Sit your ass down. 2004, you said?
No, I did that. I asked a question.
Yeah.
I asked you.
And
I was asking if you are going to put 2004
right.
the movie in
and
one of these.
The answer
things.
To your question is you are wrong.
Shit.
Casino Royale.
Oh, God.
Mission Impossible 3. And just to show that I'm not cheating, what is the number that you see here?
9.
And this is question 9. Casino Royale, Mission Impossible 3, The Da Vinci Code.
I'm a moron.
Yes, you are.
Jay-Z's Kingdom Come.
And you have to remember, he teaches math.
Yeah.
Oh.
Jay-Z's Kingdom Come was the top grossing album.
He taught someone math today.
So
right,
he
so.
Says, we can't prove
okay.
any of it.
Okay. Okay.
And,
so
and
we're
someone
about
is someone who our family knows.
We're talking about Casino
so
Royale.
Is rude?
Kiss them goodbye.
Is this Casino Royale and what else?
Casino Royale.
MI3.
MI3 and The Da Vinci Code.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Da Vinci Code followed by MI3 followed by James Bond.
You are incorrect, sir.
Swap the bottom two.
No, you are just so good.
I didn't
no,
look at the numbers.
Here.
But alright, if you don't want to give it to me, sure. I just
no,
want
no,
to just tell me if I'm right.
We should call that in.
It sounds like I'm right. Because
he saw the paper.
So
you're saying Da Vinci Code is one?
Da Vinci.
Mm-hmm.
I said swap the bottom two.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Shit. Da Vinci.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say MI3 or Da Vinci Casino Royale MI3?
Fair enough. Andrew gets another point.
Because the way I view it is it took them a long time to get to MI4, so I couldn't have made that much money on part 3. And Casino Royale was a reintroduction. Most people had given up on that.
Andrew Robinson, the final question.
Is it 2004?
Somehow I think it is.
They're not very good.
Rays
like
of light going in a straight line. Beep. Pencil. Nope. Not a pencil. You dumb fuck. How many legs has an arachnid? Beep. 5. No such. What? Did you just say 5? 5. You guys went. You go
quiz,
to the school, right?
Quizmaster.
5.
Quizmaster, can I ask what is the score of this round?
So far, you are leading the Douglas. 3-2. However,
all right.
One is dubious.
Okay.
I'm just asking.
I don't know.
Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Spider-Man Part 2 and Shrek Part 2.
I'll go and fuck this up and go Spidey, Shrek, Harry Potter.
In your order.
I'm sorry?
In your order.
What is my order?
The order that you said it in.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Azkaban was number one.
Mm-hmm.
What were the other two movies again?
Spider-Man and Shrek.
Yeah, in that order.
You two are incorrect. Shrek 2 made $441 million.
Fuck.
Spider-Man 2 made
children.
$373
million.
And Harry Potter made $250.
I just love Harry Potter, so I had to put it number one. I love that movie. Azkaban is so good.
So the scores now have Andrew pulling away. Holy shit. Douglas should really stop playing this game. It's not working out in his favor. Andrew now has 8 points. The Douglas has 3.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just gonna
2004.
And kill myself.
2004 in your face. All in your
It really is truly sad how often that actually does happen to me. Like, I will get just so
all in your face. Like, except I'm 100% wrong.
You thought so much about
can't
today.
No, counting to ten is difficult. I can't do it. I don't know many people who can. Alright?
So that's the show for this week. We're not doing a top 5 or anything because my brain sucks.
Uh-huh. And my game is better.
And your game is better. But anyways, as always, you can hear the podcast over at gmanreviews.com or through iTunes and Stitcher. Douglas, he's on Twitter at DJR Lost His Name. Generally, just wondering why movies are not Captain America awesome. Damien, he's at Damien_WhiteStillLovingFudge.
Yep.
And
I'm changing that right now. At Douglas Robbins.
And I am at Gman Reviews, constantly questioning why movies aren't as good as House of Games. So thanks so much for listening and good night.
Send in tweets.
2004
for life.
Hold on.
Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes, his cap and coat are patched with the love that Margaret sold there. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam, and he watches the tugboats down canals, calls out to them when he thinks he knows the captain. Till Margaret comes to take him home again, through unforgiving streets that trip him, though she holds his arm. Sometimes he thinks he's alone and he calls her name. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zuider Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man.